The standard for love. The standard for love. Now, along with the upcoming celebration of Valentine's Day, everybody ready for Valentine's Day? Anybody forget that it was Valentine's Day coming up this Thursday? Come on, husbands. Come on, wives. There's a lot of talk in advertising. Have you seen some of this? About love and expressing love. The perfect dozen roses. The perfect set of chocolates that you could purchase. The perfect expression of love to your Valentine. And from one person to another, there can be different viewpoints about love. Have you noticed some of this in your conversations with people? There can be contrasting perspectives about the expressions of love. There was a whole book written on love languages. Anybody ever read that book before? I've read it. Talking about how different people have different love languages and they express love in different ways depending on how God has wired them. And it's up to us to try to find out what that person's love language is so that we can receive the expression of love that they're extending to us. Amen? How many of you here know that we are to love everybody, but we don't necessarily have to like everybody? How many of you here with me glad for that? I love everybody, but I don't particularly like certain people. Don't particularly like how they act or talk or make me feel when I'm with them. But I love them. And I would be there for them if they really needed it. But it's okay to love and not necessarily like certain people, personality differences and whatever. How many of you here have ever felt like, I just don't connect with that person. I just don't have the wiring to connect with them. And that's okay. You can still love them with the standard of love that we're going to be talking about here further as time goes on. Amen? Amen. Can anybody else say amen?
Amen.
Depending on a person's life experiences, their standard for love may be different from yours. Depending on what their relationship was with their parents growing up or with their siblings growing up or whatever the case may be. Depending on a person's life experiences, their standard for love may be different from yours. But no matter what your life experiences have been, when we look into the standard of God's Word in the Bible, the standard of God's Word in the Bible, let's say that together, the standard of God's Word in the Bible, we can find a standard for love that is timeless. We can find a standard for love that is transforming. We can find a standard for love that is eternal. Amen? A standard for love that benefits us now in this life and that will benefit us for all of eternity. There's no other standard for love like that. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. God's Word in the Bible has a lot to say about love. And the biblical standard for love, catch this now, begins with a biblical truth from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, gives us the beginning, the foundation of the biblical standard for love based on biblical truth. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is reminding us afresh today, I believe, through these verses, that God is love. God is love. Let's decree that together. God is love. And that love is God. Love is God. Let's say that together. Love is God. God is love, and love is God. Amen? But it doesn't stop there. That as born again, professed followers of Jesus Christ, we should love one another on the basis of God's standard for love in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen? How are you loving one another? Is it based on the standard for love that God has set forth or on some other standard that may be skewed or tainted by your past experiences? Catch this now. Love is not just something God does. Love is a fundamental characteristic and attribute of who God is. And so everything that he does, catch this now, is impelled and influenced by his love. Now, I want to make a distinction here between what it means to be impelled and compelled. There's a difference between being impelled by something and compelled by something. To be impelled means that the substance of who you are on the inside is what's influencing you to act in a certain way, which is different from being compelled, which means that there's some force outside of you influencing you to act in a certain way. The standard for God's love is to impel us from the inside out. Amen? Interestingly, in the English language, there's only one word for love, and that is love. Anybody here know another English word for love other than love? In the English language, it's simple, but yet at times confusing. Because there's one word for love, and that's love. And in our American vernacular, when someone uses the word love in conversation, we derive what they mean by love from the phrase that they're using it in. It's kind of subjective. Well, what do you mean by that? For example, I love my wife, and I love pizza. Well, hopefully your love for your spouse has a different connotation than your love for pizza. Amen? Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. And if it doesn't, maybe we need some introspection. I think you get the point. The word love in American vernacular, the meaning of it is derived from the phrase that we're using it in. Oh, and by the way, yesterday was National Pizza Day. Anybody realize that yesterday was... Boy, there's a national day for everything now, isn't there? National day for this, national day for that. Now it's... It was National Pizza Day. I didn't even know that. I was watching Neil Cavuto on Fox, and he's an Italian guy, and he's big on pizza and eating in general. And he said, oh, today's National Pizza Day. And I said, oh, how did I forget that one? And so in case you missed it, maybe you could celebrate your love for pizza retrospectively today. Just a thought. I digress. But now I'm going to get back on track. Now, contrasting with the English language, the Bible uses several different words for love. In the original Hebrew language of the Old Testament and in the original Greek language of the New Testament, interchanging different specific words for love depending on the context. Each word expresses a specific kind of love related to the situation or circumstances at hand, which makes it a little bit easier to understand what kind of love is being referred to. The Greek word agape, catch this now, is characterized by the compassionate and selfless kind of love that is the essence of God's love. And it's, catch this now, it's the same word, agape, that characterizes the essence of God's love, is the same word that is used throughout 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It's the same word used to describe, catch this now, the expressed qualities of God's standard for love, qualities that should be evident in and through us, who have submitted our lives to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior and Lord. Amen? So you see how God's love doesn't just stop with God. Amen? It's meant to extend down to us the qualities and the attributes of the essence of the standard for love that God is to extend down to us and is extended down to us who have come to submit our lives to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Amen? Amen. Can anybody else say amen? Amen? You all look like an oil painting right now. Either you're really taking it in or I've just lulled you to sleep halfway. Anyway, I'll talk a little louder. It's an inside out work. Amen? Amen? God's love in us impelling us to love as He loves. As born-again devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. And so we've been endowed with the essence of the standard for love that can now impel us to love as God loves. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is encouraging each of us afresh today along these lines from 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. That as professed, born-again followers of Jesus Christ, the agape standard for love in us impels us to be patient. How many of you here with me have difficulty with patience? Anybody here pray for patience? Be careful when you pray for patience, because God will test that. But as professed followers of Jesus Christ, with the Spirit of God living in us, we're endowed with the Holy Spirit in us. The agape standard for love impels us to be patient, impels us to be kind, impels us to be thoughtful, to not be envious, to not be boastful, to not be dishonoring others. The agape standard for love that is in us impels us to not be prideful, to not be arrogant, to not be rude or self-seeking. And that the agape standard for love that is in us is not overly sensitive or easily provoked to anger. Are you thin-skinned or thick-skinned? Anybody here come across thin-skinned people that are just so overly sensitive and easily provoked? The agape standard for love that is in us helps us to not be overly sensitive or easily provoked to anger, and it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. How many of you here got a list in your mind of the wrongs that certain people have done to you? Anybody here with me ever struggle with that? Can anybody lift an honest hand with me? And I've struggled with that, even as a pastor. Wrongs and hurts that have been incurred, it's tough to erase that list from your mind, isn't it? But we can forgive and not forget as long as we don't hold it against. Amen? Spirit of God wants that to settle down into your heart and mind. We can forgive and not forget, but not hold it against. Amen?
Amen.
The agape standard for love that is in us impels us to not keep a record of wrongs, to not delight in evil or wrongdoing. But rather, the agape standard for love that is in us impels us to rejoice with the truth whenever what's right and true prevails. Amen?
Amen?
It impels us to look for and to believe in the best for one another. To look for and to believe in the best for one another, remaining steadfast in difficult times and enduring all things for our greater good and for the greater good of others and for God's greatest glory through us and between us. Amen?
Amen.
Can anybody else say amen?
Amen?
The agape standard for love that is in us never fails. And of the greatest of God's gifts, faith, hope, and love, that's what the latter part of 1 Corinthians 13 says, that of God's greatest gifts, faith, hope, and love, the greatest is agape love. Not just any kind of love. Agape love in us that impels us to carry out the attributes of God through us to one another. Amen?
Amen?
Be reminded afresh today that God's agape standard for love impelled Him to do something about the separation between Him and sinful mankind. Aren't you glad for that? John 3:16 reminds us about that. John 3:16 reminds us about that. that God loved the world so much. Stop right there. God loved the world? What does that mean? Well, when you look into it, the word world in this verse is the Greek word cosmos. And when you do a little bit of a word study on it, catch this now, it indicates world is cosmos. It indicates the divine order, catch this now, the divine order that God originally intended for this world before the sinful fall of man. And so God agape loved His original intention for the creation of mankind so much so that He gave His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That whoever believes and trusts in Him as Savior and Lord of their lives here on this earth will have eternal life in the life to come. Amen? Amen. Jesus died for everyone.
Thank you,
Lord. And for anyone who would be so willing as to repentantly submit their lives to Him, they will have eternal life.
Amen.
And fullness of life in this life. Amen?
Amen?
Make no mistake about it. God's agape standard for love was exemplified best in the perfectly compassionate and thoroughly selfless sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the quintessential example of God's agape standard for love. Amen? No greater love is there than this, than one lay down his life for his friends, let alone his enemies. Jesus laid down his life for us even when we were enemies to him, because that's how much God loved his original intention for mankind. Amen? That every human being would have the opportunity to come into the blessing of that original intention that He has for us. Amen?
Amen.
God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is reassuring us along these lines from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Let us unselfishly agape love one another. Agape love one another. Let's say that together. Agape love one another. And let us unselfishly seek the best for one another. For agape love is from God, and everyone who agape loves others is born of God. And everyone who agape loves others knows God experientially through personal experience with Him. Amen?
Amen.
And catch this now. Sobering point. A lot of religious people out there. Not here. Out there, out. A lot of religious people out there in the name of Jesus. And so catch this now. The one who does not agape love has not become acquainted with God personally and does not know Him personally. For God is agape love. He is the originator of agape love, and it is an enduring attribute of His nature. And so by this, catch this now, the agape love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, one of a kind, begotten Son of God, so that we might live our lives through Him.
Amen.
That we might live our lives through Him. And catch this now. If we agape love one another, then it's a proof that God abides in us. That He has taken up residence in us by the dwelling of His Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And His agape love, the kind of love that is the essence of who He is being brought to full expression in us and through us. Amen?
Amen?
So you see, the standard for love that is God doesn't just stop with God. It's meant to reside in us as born-again believers and to have its full expression through us to the people around us. And that's the proof that He abides in us. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. God initiated an opportunity for a loving relationship with us He was the initiator of that opportunity. And so whatever love that we may or may not have for God, whatever love we may or may not have for God, whatever degree of love we may or may not have for God, is simply our response one way or the other to His sacrificial love for us. What is your love response to God for the expression of His sacrificial love for you? Our human understanding of love is flawed. Our human understanding of love is weak. Our human understanding of love is incomplete at best. But the more we understand God's standard for love through the life dynamic of Jesus' life on this earth, then the better we will understand what the expression of true love is. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of God is stirring us afresh today that God's standard for love in us impels us to love others in the same way that God loves us. God's standard for love in us impels us to love the family of God in the fellowship of faith in Christ, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 17. God's standard for love in us impels us to love our enemies, catch this now, in a way that actively seeks the best for them, according to Matthew 5, verses 43 to 45. God's standard for love in us impels us to honor our marriage relationship with our husbands and with our wives respectively. It impels husbands and wives to respect and nurture one another out of reverence for Christ, impelling husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church, and for wives to respect their husband's position and responsibility before God to be the protector and the head of the household, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. God's standard for love impels children to honor and obey their parents who belong to the Lord. Honor and obey your parents who belong to the Lord. And it impels parents to not provoke or exasperate their children to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial, with demands that are unreasonable or humiliating or abusive. God's standard for love is characterized by not showing favoritism or indifference to any of your children, but instead to bring them up tenderly with the loving kindness and the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
According to Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. God's standard for love in us should impel us to obey God's commands and to serve His purposes for our lives out of love for Him and for all that He has done for us, according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. God's standard for love in us impels us to worship and praise Him. Amen? I will decree on my lips. I will have a decree on my lips that I will exalt you, my God and my King, and I will praise your name forever and forever. I will praise you every day, for great is the Lord, for great is the Lord, for great is the Lord, and He is most worthy of praise. Amen?
Amen.
Reference Psalms 145 to 150. Make no mistake about it. God's love does not wax and wane. His love is not a fickle emotional sensation. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
His love is not a sappy, sentimental, romantic, wavering feeling. But rather, His love is unwavering and perfectly reliable. And so nothing can separate a born-again believer. Nothing can separate a born-again believer. Nothing can separate a born-again believer from the love of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
according to Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. Be encouraged afresh today, saints of God. God's standard for love is personal. He knows each of us individually. And He loves each of us personally. And His transforming love has no end. And it's this very personal experience with God's relational personal love that distinguishes born-again Christianity from every other religious system. The bottom line is this. The bottom line for each of us as professed believers, when God's standard for love is infusing our hearts, then we will be impelled to love Him in return, catch this now, with all that we have, with a decree on our lips, catch this now, Lord, I delight to do Your will. Lord, I delight to do Your will. Lord, I delight to do Your will. Let's say that together. Lord, I delight to do Your will. Decree it again. Lord, I delight to do Your will. Say it one more time. Lord, I delight to do Your will, according to Psalm 40, verse 8. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the word of the Lord has come to you today.